Says it all.
Thank you.
Something given, something offered, and something surrendered. God can accomplish a wonderful thing.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Now I know why I'm going to read. Now I know why I'm going to read the scripture. I didn't understand it before, but now I understand. The consecration of the temple. I'm not going to read it all, but a portion. There's also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for the multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord into a place, to the oracle of the house, unto the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark of the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves of the ark, and the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracles, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. There was nothing in the ark of the staves, the two tables which Moses put therein in Horeb, when the Lord made the covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests were present, were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, and all the Levites which were the singers, and all the Asaph, and Heman, and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood in the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were of one, and make one sound to be heard in the praising and the thanksgiving. And the Lord, and when they had lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments and the music and the praises of the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not enter nor stand to minister by the reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord have filled the house of God. Is that your desire today? That God's house would be filled with his glory, that the smoke would go up as a praise unto him, of our songs, our worship, everything that comes from our hearts that is sacrificed and surrendered and submitted to him today. Let God do something in your heart today with your sacrifice.
You may be seated if you'd like.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Grace, how can it be that in my sin, yes, even then, He shed His blood for me? Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me.
Thankful for His blood this morning. That is the only way we are on the winning side. I'm so grateful we find victory in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise your name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
Brother Gary.
You are high and lifted up, your name. up in the name of Jesus.
Oh yeah,
lift
Jesus.
Up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus.
Lift up his name.
Lift up the name of Jesus.
Come on, lift up the name of Jesus.
Lift up the name of Jesus. Your name be praised.
I am,
I am,
I am,
I am.
Rich,
what it is and is to come.
You're the Lion,
you're the Lion,
you're the Lamb.
You're the Lamb. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Your
train
of the temple,
of the temple. For you are high and lifted up. Your name.
And I worship you.
And I worship
oh, yeah. You are Jehovah.
You are Jehovah.
And I glorify you.
And I glorify
oh, well, there is no other.
There is no other.
The Lord God like you.
Lord God like you.
Your name.
Be praised.
I am.
I am.
I am.
I am.
Which was and is to come.
You're the Lion.
You're the Lion.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Your
train
of the temple.
The temple for you are high and lifted up.
Your name
be praised.
Lift up the name of Jesus.
Lift up the name of Jesus.
Won't you help me lift up his name
of Jesus.
Come on, lift up the name
of Jesus.
Lift up the name of Jesus.
Oh yeah, lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus.
Won't you help me lift up his name?
Lift up the name of Jesus.
Oh, lift up the name
of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. Your name.
Thank you, Jesus. Each time I am in the presence of God and I feel His touch, I'm reminded words of the song that are so true. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. I'm so thankful that I've come to understand there is nothing like the touch of Jesus. There is no feeling like being in His presence. There is no freedom like the freedom I have in serving Him. Oh, I'm so thankful that I know Him. Oh, I'm learning more and more about Him. He is leading me and guiding me, directing my paths, leading me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Hallelujah, Jesus. How can we just take a few moments in whatever way you feel comfortable doing so? Why don't you reach out? You'll find He's not very far from any one of us. His presence is here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't always do this, but if you're here and you need a healing touch in your body, the Bible tells us we can anoint and pray for you, and the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. If you're here this morning and you need a touch from God, whether it be physical, whether it be mental, whatever the need is, Lord, We ask that you would come forward. We will gather around you. We will anoint and pray for you. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Jesus can.
For his goodness. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I realize that the observance of Veterans Day took place yesterday, but we would be remiss if we did not take opportunity to thank those that are veterans that have either served or presently serving in our armed forces. So if you are a veteran and you are in the house this morning, would you please stand so that we can show gratitude by applause for your service to our country? I think it would be right if we gave them a standing ovation, if we stood. Yes. Applause unto them for their service. Thank you. I want you to know your sacrifices have helped afford us the many freedoms and liberty that we currently live in. For that, we say a sincere thank you. Thank you, thank you for your service. Way of announcement, understanding the end time, lesson 7 taking place tonight from 6, starting at 6 o'clock, talking about the rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire, lesson happening tonight. There are, I think, a few slots available for snack, so if you would please sign up, bring stuff so that we have, we're not trying to feed people a full course meal, but we're trying to just maybe assuage the hunger a little bit in between sessions. And so if you would sign up and bring those items tonight, we thank you. A good time of fellowship. And even if you don't like the material covered, you can still come and have good fellowship and have a good time of feeding and feeding each other with just by being here in each other's presence. So we thank you for that. And we just looking forward to tonight. Then a week from yesterday, this coming Saturday, we're in the midst of prepping for fundraising. We want to put together a peanut brittle and caramel corn to sell to raise funds. We are desperately trying to do some needed repairs around here. One of the main expenses that we're going to have to incur in the not-too-distant future is replacing the carpet here in the sanctuary. And so we are going to start prepping for selling these items. We've already asked, and some of you have already responded, if we get a few families just to donate about $50, that would help offset the cost of the supplies that we're going to have to buy for the fundraiser. That way, everything that we make would be pure profit. Again, I'm not up here fleecing you. And just if you have it to give and you would be willing to bless us and bless the church by us being able to afford all of the ingredients to go into the fundraising without, you know, other costs. And we appreciate that. So that is happening at 10 a.m. on Saturday. And if you can come and help us, we would certainly appreciate that. A midweek service happening on Wednesday night of this week. And then next week is going to, we're moving it back a week. It's hard to believe that not this week, but the following week is the week of Thanksgiving. We are there already. And so during the week of Thanksgiving, we move our midweek service back one night. Instead of having it on a Wednesday night, we have it on a Tuesday night. It is a special Thanksgiving service wherein we will also partake of communion. And so we want you to come be a part of that. And that is on a week from this Tuesday night is when we're having our Thanksgiving service. Other announcements available on the screen showing you what is happening to all those men. I think we had 8 men that were able to go to the men's conference on Friday night. What a great time we had, not only in the presence of God, but in the presence of one another as we fellowshipped and made memories together. Thank you for your sacrifice, taking time out of your schedule to go and be a part of that. If you have your Bible, you'd be so kind to grab it, stand, and turn therein to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4, begin reading in verse number 17. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord to worship this morning. You've chosen to be other places, but you chose to be here, and we thank you for that. We feel confident that you will not regret your decision to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Romans chapter number 4, begin reading in verse number 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I'll draw your attention back to verse number 17. This, we understand, is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome, the book of Romans. He is referencing the story of Abraham, the father of the faithful, the patriarch of faith. He said that Abraham believed God. He staggered not at the promises of God. He believed that this God whom he served could call things as not as though they were. Though he was old, the Bible says, well, stricken in years, though, best understand, his wife, Sarah, was past the time of bearing children. Abraham believed God. And God said, I'll make you a father of many nations. Though he had no descendants at the time, he believed that this God could call things that were not as though they were. This God who is not encumbered by space and time, this God who knows the end from the beginning, calleth things as not as though they were. I want to preach to you upon this subject. Voices from the other side. Voices from the other side. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We ask you, Lord, to open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. God, that we would hear what your spirit would say into the church. God, that we would be encouraged and strengthened, God, in our living for you. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. For all that you are and all that you do in your precious name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Voices from the other side. First of all, I would like to establish what I mean by the phrase the other side. Not referring to the other side as in the enemy or the forces that are against us, but rather the other side in the sense of the other side of the natural, or we might say the supernatural. The other side in the sense of the dimension of the spiritual. The other side beyond what we understand is our reality, that we can easily access with our senses. When I speak of the other side, I am, in most cases, I'm referring to, and the understanding is, the other side has to do with that part of life or that part of our existence that we often cannot explain. Those things that do happen. And even non-believers have to recognize that there are things that occur even in their own lives that are beyond their own explanation and understanding. Things that happen, things like something we call deja vu, where we come to a place or we find ourselves surrounded of a scene that we know we had been there before and maybe a dream or some imagination, and we can't exactly figure out how we know that we've been in that place before. I'm not trying to get all mystical on us, but I want us to understand that when we talk about the other side, we're talking about forces both good and evil that are seeking to influence our lives, thus attempting to lead us in opposite directions. Voices from the other side that would lead us to good and lead us in paths of righteousness, and yes, voices from the other side that would also lead us into destruction. Impulses, influences, pressures, things that we all encounter in our lives, voices that speak to us maybe in our mentality or what we're thinking in our mindset, or maybe voices that actually come from other people that we understand that when they say something, they don't really understand why they're saying it, but maybe they're speaking into my life about something that I know that God knows. Voices from the other side. And I think we would be remiss not to recognize that there are influences, both internal and external, working to accomplish the will of their respective masters. Voices from the other side seeking to steer our lives into either spiritual life or spiritual death. For example, and obviously this is not a comprehensive list, but voices of spiritual death like temptation, lust, doubts, fears,
things seeking to steer our life away from voices that are spiritual and of spiritual life. Voices that are voices of faith, courage to believe, voices of promise, voices of hope to believe and understand that God has a plan for our lives. I would say this, much of our success in living our lives under spiritual life as Christians comes from learning to listen to the voices from the other side that are leading us into paths of righteousness. I'm not talking about being schizophrenic. I'm not talking about saying, well, I hear voices in my head and these voices cause me to do things. What I'm talking about is what we all experience on a day-to-day basis where we have a conscious thought and those thoughts are influenced and people say stuff and we have influences both internal and external that are trying to steer our lives in various directions. Things that are calling out unto us. And I have come to know this in my walk and relationship with God. The more that I am able to distinguish the voices that are leading into spiritual life, the better off I will be as I heed and obey those voices. As I come and I hear a man of God that speaks wisdom into my life and I adhere and I not just be a listener or a hearer of the word, but I be a follower and a doer of the word. And I've come to recognize that those times when those voices have spoken unto me and they've endeavored to lead my life and I have heeded and I have obeyed and followed, I am better off. And then there are other times when impulses and influence and inclinations and carnality and things that speak to the other side of me, the will of the flesh, and seek to draw me away and tempt me away from what is doing right. And yes, there are times that I listen to those voices. If you're honest with yourself, you would recognize you do the same. It is that ultimate struggle. It is that going back and forth. It is that desire to do right, as Paul said. But I often find that when I want to do right, evil is present with me. And it's that struggle. It's that back and forth. I had a wise, well-meaning man who spoke into my life numerous times, and he told me at one point, and I understand what he was saying on the surface, but he told me the voice of God is a lot like common sense. And while I understand that in some regard, I get the inference of that statement, I struggle with the understanding that oftentimes in Scripture, the voices from the other side leading people to do the will of God were anything but common. Matter of fact, many times they would boggle the logical mind. The things that would come and it would often, they would often make no sense. But if the people would follow them and they would obey them, they would understand that the outcome was the result of them obeying the voice from the other side that was leading them in what God would have them to do. Let's take baby steps. Let's look at some instances in Scripture that I believe will help us realize how voices from the other side can lead us into following the will of God for our lives. How even those voices seeking our destruction will often clue us into understanding of what God would have us to do. Even those temptations and those impulses and even those things that come from the other side, if I learn to distinguish that that's where they're coming from and their master is not one that seeks my betterment, but their master is something that seeks my destruction. If I come to recognize that, and I'm as the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ignorant of those devices, then I am better equipped to ignore those voices and to shun those impulses and to shun those influences and follow after God. See, two instances in the Bible that while natural in setting and experience, I think will reveal how to discern the voices that are from God and His will versus the voices that are from this world. I draw your attention to Genesis chapter number 18, and I'm going to read just a passage of Scripture there in Genesis 18. It is a familiar passage for many of us in reference to visitors that Abraham has. I'm picking up at verse number 9 of Genesis 18. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. It's visitors come, and Abraham is outside, and he sees these visitors, and he runs out to meet them, and he entreats them, invites them to come and to visit with them. And so he goes, and he starts preparing, and he gets the servant to go get a calf, and he begins to get butter and all these things. And then and these men speak, and one of them says, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And Abraham responds, "Behold, she's in the tent." Now, the interesting part here is that there really is no conversation that we can see that would give those men that are visiting cause to understand that he even has a wife and that her name is Sarah. And all of a sudden, this man says, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And Abraham says, "Well, she's in the tent." He said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind. She was obviously getting things ready, preparing, and she was following the wishes of her husband, Abraham, undoubtedly. And in that moment, she heard her name called. "Where is Sarah thy wife?" These men are speaking as if they know me. "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And I have a vivid imagination. I just picture her stopping what she's doing and maybe edging closer to the door of the tent, like they've mentioned. What are they talking about me for? There's voices on the other side of this tent, and they're speaking, and they've called me by name. There's something that they're saying, and it has to do with me. And so she listens. And she hears in the tent door, the Bible says, that she's going to have a child. She's well beyond the age of bearing children. The Bible says the time of womanhood has passed. She's no longer biologically able to have children. So in hearing this voice from the other side saying that she's going to have a child, the Bible says in verse 11, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself." She's on this side of the tent, and on the other side there are voices, and they're saying, "Where is Sarah thy wife? Because I'm going to return again about this time, and she's going to have a son." She's on this side. They know how. They know it's past that time for me. And so the Bible says she laughed within herself. In her logical mind, that didn't make sense. That's absurd that she would at this age have a child. "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh?" Think about it. She's on this side of the tent. The voices on the other side of the tent say, "Where's Sarah thy wife? When I return this time, she's going to have a son." And she laughs. "I'm so old. I'm going to have pleasure with my husband, and he's old also." And then the voice from the other side says, "Where does Sarah laugh?" Think about what's happening on the other side. These voices are saying, and she just laughs within herself, the Bible says. She doesn't even laugh outside. She's not a snicker. It's not a, oh, she's not something to do. But she laughs within herself. And then the voice from the other side, the Lord, the Bible says, "Why is she laughing? Wait a second. Why is she laughing?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall of a surety bear a child which am old?" Not only does he denote that she laughs within herself, he's also telling her what she's thinking. Why did she laugh? And why is she thinking that she can't have a child when she's old? What a surprise that must have been for Sarah. Talking about me? They tell me I'm going to have a child. I laugh within myself. And then they ask why I'm laughing, and then they know what I'm laughing about. These voices from the other side. That's just strange. That's odd. And then the Lord says this: "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" the reason why you're laughing is because you don't think it's possible. The reason why you're saying that it's you're too old and you're well stricken in years, and the reason is because you don't believe. You're laughing because you don't believe that it can be done. But I ask you to consider a question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. For she was afraid and said, nay, but he said, but no, you laugh. She said, oh, I didn't laugh. He said, oh, no, you laugh. God has a sense of humor. She just laughed within herself. She said, oh, I didn't laugh. I know you laughed. You snickered at the thought because you think it's too hard for God. Sarah stands in the door of the tent, meaning she is on one side and the visitors are on the other side. She hears an inquiry with her name and it piques her attention and she thinks, shall I have a son? She laughs within herself. She's amused at the assertion that someone as old as she is would have a child. See, what we need to understand that sometimes voices from the other side on the surface seem rather absurd. Say it with me. When voices from the other side say things that are easier to doubt than they are to believe. Lord, help me understand that those voices from the other side, I need to put them in comparison to the understanding that is there anything too hard for God? And though God may have spoken into your life, or maybe a preacher has prophesied over you, or maybe you've heard a word and you've thought to yourself, there's no way that can happen. There's no way that can come to pass. You need to understand those voices from the other side speak things that are not as though they were. Those voices from the other side can see what you cannot see. Voices from the other side understand things in a spiritual realm you do not understand. So instead of laughing, why don't you listen and understand? And wait a second, there is nothing too hard for my God. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ask or even think. Oftentimes when it seems impossible, it is the voice from the other side wanting to reveal to you that there is nothing too hard for God, for with God nothing shall be impossible. He's able. I know you're snickering, Sarah. I know you don't think it's possible, but you need to understand there are voices speaking on the other side, and though they speak things that are not as though they were. And if you would just listen, you would understand, though you consider your body to be dead, and though you think your womb is beyond the time that it would ever bring forth, Sarah, the womb you thought was dead, will bring forth a son whose descendants will outnumber the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. Sarah, it's a voice from the other side, but with faith you gotta listen, for nothing shall be impossible with God. Voices from the other side. What about the story of a man by the name of Gideon, who was visited by an angel? Children of God are under the oppressive hand of the Midianites. He is threshing wheat by the winepress, and an angel appears unto him. And the beginning of the story, the scenario is much like that of Abraham and Sarah and the visitors. It is angelic visitation. And Gideon does some of the same stuff. He goes and prepares a meal and sets it before the angel of the Lord. And fire comes down and consumes the meal. And the angel tells him that he's going to deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of the Midianites. And Gideon looks at himself and says, who, me? How am I? I'm the least of my brethren of the smallest tribe. And I'm nothing. We've heard about how God has delivered in times past, but I don't see me as being the deliverer. I don't see me as having the capability, being the one who's able to deliver. I believe that God can deliver. I just don't believe that he can deliver through me. I'll say that again. I believe that God can deliver. I just don't believe that God can deliver through me. The voice of doubt that tries to keep us from doing the will of God. The voice of fear. I just don't know if I can. I don't know. It seems crazy. It's so absurd, like the voice that spoke on the other side of the tent with Sarah. It seems like it's not possible. But if I can just believe that God has a plan. So Gideon begins to do what he's instructed. He tears down the idols and the altars of worship for idolatry. And then he begins to amass an army, if you will. He makes an appeal to all of those throughout the region. And they show up. They come, and it's 32,000 strong. Wow. All right. Got some support. I got people backing me. And God says, no, sorry. I can't use that many, because if I do, then they might become vaunted up in themselves and think that by their hand they delivered themselves. I'm sorry, Gideon, but I can't let you go against the, even though the Bible tells us that their camels are without number, and they span the area as the sand of the sea, and you can't number them all. You try and you lose count. You wouldn't be able to number. There's so many. 32,000 is just still too much. Gideon stands up and says, listen, if you're afraid, you don't really want to fight this fight, you can go home. You want to talk about a church split? Over two-thirds, 22,000 of the 32,000 say, see ya. I'm going back. I'd rather not fight. So his troops have dwindled, and he looks at 10,000. Man, God. The Lord says, nope, sorry, still too many. Take them down to the stream and the brook and watch them as they take of the water. And they reach down and lap as a dog, or if they take the water, scoop it up and are alert and they drink from the hand, and then you'll be able to discern. And then God further calls. And now 300. Less than 1%. About that. Less than 1% of the initial volunteers are left. Gideon has already fleeced the Lord. He's already said, Lord, I need some reassurance, and so I'm going to lay this fleece of wool on the ground, and if it's wet and all the ground around it is dry, then I'll know that I'm the one. Comes the next morning, and sure enough, it's there. He picks up the fleece, and it's wet, and all the area around it's dry. He says, all right, come tomorrow, and it's dry, and everything else around it is wet, then I'll believe. Comes tomorrow, sure enough. Right? Lord, I'm still not so sure. Need some encouragement. Here's where Gideon gets his encouragement. Judges chapter 7, verses 9 through 15. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, and he still did, go, the fear of thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. I'm going to let you in on a little something, Gideon. I'm going to let you hear some voices from the other side. Need some encouragement. You need to know that I've already got this thing handled, that everything's all. You need to know that victory is assured. I'm going to let you hear some voices from the other side. Take Pura, go down. You're going to hear what they say. And afterward, shall thy hands be strengthened to go down unto the hosts. Then he went down with Pura, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites, and the Amalekites, and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the sea for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, here's the voice from the other side. Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it that it fell, and it overturned it, and the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon. It's like Sarah when she heard her name. Gideon is listening, and he hears these voices from the other side, and the voices. This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon. The same Gideon that considered himself least among his brethren, the same Gideon that said, you can't use me because I'm so small and I don't have what it takes, the same Gideon that doubted God's ability to use him for delivering the children. Now this multitude that spans the coast as the sand of the sea knows who I am. And they're saying, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon. Here's where his encouragement came. When Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped. Now I hear voices from the other side, and they're calling me by name, and they're telling me that I am the one, the sword of Gideon and the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And so Gideon got up, and he returned to the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord delivered unto your hand the host of Midian. From 32,000 to 10,000 to just 300. Fleecing, asking, inquiring. And now he goes down to the camp and he hears voices from the other side and they strengthen Gideon. If we could only hear how voices from the other side speak concerning us. God would at times clue us in. Gideon goes from being least among his brethren to being known by his enemies who are numbered as the sands of the sea. And when Gideon hears the dream and the interpretation thereof, he worshiped. Oh God, if I could but hear the voices from the other side and what they're saying, if some of us could hear how the voices from the other side talk about us and our eventual victory, we couldn't help but worship. I'm going to say that again. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what oppressive thing you may be under. I don't care what you're going through and what you're dealing with in life. If you can learn to listen to some voices from the other side, this is one of those cases where even the enemy speaks about your eventual victory. And one of these days, though I'm going through it, when I fall, I shall arise. I'm not going to be down for long. One of these days, I'm getting up. And Gideon comes back and says, hey, fellas, arise. I know there's only 300 of us, but I've already heard voices from the other side telling me that we're going to be victorious. Come on, boys, get your trumpets and get your pitchers. Let's go and by the hand of God, destroy Midian. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. We need to start hearing the voices from the other side. The voice that calleth things that are not as though they were. I had a dream. A cake of barley tumbles into a tin and destroys it. The other guy, without hesitation, says, that's nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For God hath delivered Midian and all of the host into his hand. Newsflash, folks, it hadn't happened yet. Maybe your victory over the situation hasn't happened yet. Can you start believing some voices from the other side? Can you start understanding that though it may seem absurd and though it may seem impossible and though I don't know how God's going to do it, if he said he's going to do it and the voice came from the other side, I can take some encouragement. I can take some solace in the fact that if God said it, it's going to happen, and I can believe and I can trust and I can see beyond the present situation and circumstances and I can let voices from the other side encourage me and strengthen me. Oh, don't laugh, Sarah. It's going to happen. And before she knew it, she looked down and the belly began to pooch out a little bit. And she began to recognize, wait a second, the voices from the other side weren't crazy. They were true. I'm about to give birth to a boy. Voices
to help us understand that God has already provided the promises and the victory. God has already provided voices that call things that are not as though they were. Voices promise wherein we should stagger not in unbelief. Is there anybody here this morning that would say, Lord, help me. Help me to be able to distinguish those voices. You want to know why prayer time is so important? Because it helps you distinguish the voices from the other side. You want to know why reading your Bible, why coming to church and listening to the Word, because it helps you distinguish what is the voice of God leading you. And though sometimes it sounds crazy, and though sometimes it sounds absurd, I know I've been there. I'm living it in my own life. I've come to understand that those things that God calls and those things God tells you to do, even though they seem crazy, and even though they seem absurd at times, if you will follow the call of God and the will of God, things will develop and things will happen in your life, and promises will come to pass. Voices from the other side. You see, the reality is, many of us here this morning are living proof that if you listen to the voices from the other side, you're better off. This is how I know. Because I dare say the same testimony could be said for many of us. There came a point in time in our life where we came to a service. We felt the power and presence of God. You know, some of us may have gripped hard on the back of the pew, and some of us may have sat thinking, there's no way I'm going to do it. There's no way I'm going to respond. There's no way I'm going forward. There's no way I'm going to that altar. There's no way I'm going to lift my hands. There's no way I'm going to cry. There's no way. And as we sit there and we tried to refuse, the voices became louder. It's all right. Go ahead. It's all right. Lift your hands. It's all right to go to the front. No, we argued, and though sometimes, and though for some of us it took many of those times and took many of those experiences before we ever truly listened to the voices. And we ever truly gave in and we released the pew or the chair in front of us and we began to walk out the aisle and we made our way down to the front and we told ourselves, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to respond like that. This is all crazy. This isn't for me. But all of a sudden the voices just kept coming back. Come on. This is for you. It sounds crazy. It sounds absurd. I'm not one of those religious types. I'm not one of those Bible thumpers. I don't do that stuff. I live my own life full and fancy free. I do whatever I want, but these voices won't leave me alone. They keep talking to me. They keep telling me I need to go back to that church. They keep telling me I need to listen to one more Bible study. They keep telling me I need to think more about this being baptized. And I need to truly consider repenting. And I've tried to ignore them, but they keep talking to me. And there's these voices inside my head telling me, just go ahead and respond. And then that one fateful day I came and I kneeled before God and I lifted my hands. I didn't think I'd ever be there or do that. But I responded to the voices from the other side. And now I'm living testimony that if you'll just obey and you'll heed the voices, God will do a great work in your life. Voices from the other side. As they begin to sing and play, these altars are open. Would you respond? Would you consider that maybe those voices and maybe those feelings, maybe those thoughts that you've had concerning what I should do, steps I should take, voices that had you considering maybe I should change my lifestyle. Maybe I should seek to do something different. Maybe God's calling me into something. What do you mean? I've wondered maybe that I would one day lead other people, but it seems so absurd. I get so much baggage and there's so much going on in my life, and I just don't know that that's possible. Is anything too hard for God? Hear the voices from the other side. Oh, but Pastor, I've messed up so much. I've done so much wrong. been here and I've done that. I just don't see how God can use me. But there's something that keeps telling me there's something for me in all this. And I can't ignore it. It keeps calling to me. It wakes me up at night. And there's voices that tell me this is what I need to do. And I need to respond. And there's something inside of me that wants to. But then there's other things that are rebelling. And the urges. And I don't know. I'm torn. There's voices from the other side calling out unto me. This I can guarantee you. The voice of God speaking to those things is not as though they were. If you will obey, if you will heed and listen, you won't regret the decision. I don't know why, but I've had a reoccurring dream about being in a different country and speaking to people of a different language, and I don't know why. It seems so absurd. It seemed possible that I would ever leave the life that I lead. These voices won't stop talking to me. I can't stop seeing myself in a foreign country. A friend of mine, those are voices from the other side.
More love,
is anything too hard for God?
More of you in my life, and I will worship you with all of my heart, and I will worship you with all of my heart, and I will worship.
Help me to obey God. Maybe the message you're hearing here this morning is another voice from the other side. I'm not trying to tout myself as anything. What I'm saying is that God will speak through His people and God will speak through His servants. I am but a servant of God. And maybe the voice that you're hearing this morning is another confirmation of voices from the other side. Say, come on. I have great plans for you, for I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts of peace to give you an expected end. I've got a plan for your life. Listen to the voices from the other side. I've been trying to distance myself from the voices, but they keep calling. They keep coming back to me.
With all of my strength, for you are my Lord.
because you're holy. Holy. I worship you because you're holy. That's who you are. I worship you because you're mighty. You're mighty. I worship you because you're mighty. That's who you are. I worship you because you're righteous. You're righteous. I worship you because you're righteous. That's who you are.
Lift your hands and worship unto the Lord.
So you reign in victory, Jehovah Shalom.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
My Prince of Peace.
If I listen to your voice, God,
and
victory
I worship
is
assured.
Victory is assured.
You are.
I thank you, Jesus.
Because of who you are, I give glory.
Lord, help me to listen.
Because
help
of
me to distinguish
you
your voice.
Are, I give you praise.
Help me to understand the voices that are leading
because
me in the life everlasting.
Of who you are,
and the voices that sing
I will
my distinction.
Lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Hallelujah. That's right. Why don't we applaud the Lord? Lift our hands, lift our voices. You're so good. You are so good. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Maybe sometime you'll be in the company of someone and begin to confide in you and feel the presence of the Lord sweep in, and maybe you hear a voice that says, why don't you stop and pray with them? Think, well, it seems absurd to do that right here, right now. Maybe it's a voice from the other side. Maybe the voice from the other side knows things you don't know. Can you be willing to believe? Stretch forth your hand. With God, all things are possible. Help me to listen to voices from the other side. Lead me into life everlasting. Encourage others along the way. Lord, we thank you for your power and your presence in this place today. Thank you for your word, God. It lightens us, helps us. With us from this place today. Let your hand be upon us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. God bless you for being in service this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.